العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to see our own faults. One of the big problems that we face, a big obstacle, a big roadblock that prevents us from making progress is the inability in seeing our own flaws. We like not to have flaws. Nobody likes to have problems. Nobody likes to have flaws. Nobody likes to have issues. The real way to deal with that, the correct way of dealing with that, is not to turn a blind eye, not to not see it, but to see it and try your best to get rid of it. Sometimes what happens is, because we don't like to see it, we're in denial. We don't like it, and we can't believe that we are involved with that problem. We have that problem. When it's brought to our attention even by people, sometimes what ends up happening is we're in denial. No, I didn't do that. I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. I'm not like that. We're able to see it in others. We're not able to see it in ourselves. It's a big problem. There's many reasons why this happens with us. One of the things that we have, the ahadith that we have, is that we're told not to allow us picking the flaws of others keep us busy from seeing those flaws in ourselves. We're able to see it in everybody else. We're not able to see it in ourselves. This is a big problem. Sometimes I said we're in denial. We try not to see it. Now that's a problem that I hope we haven't reached or hit that problem yet. Because if we keep going at not fixing our problem when we see it, eventually we'll stop seeing it and we're going to be in denial. We'll see it in others. When others bring it to our attention, in our marital life, when our spouse brings it to our attention, over the years, every time she mentions it or he mentions it, whoever it is, the other party, the other side, mentioning it, I don't like it when I hear it. I don't like to see it in myself, and there's always a way of turning it around, spinning it around, and seeing it in the other side, blaming the other side. Eventually, what that does is, God forbid, that because of our own deeds, us covering it up, something that was obvious, it's a problem that's obvious in us. Anyone who's around us can tell, can see. We used to see it. Instead of dealing with it, instead of getting rid of it, instead of trying to fix it, we start to blind ourselves to it. Eventually, we actually don't see it anymore. That's a very complex situation. I hope to God none of us here are dealing with that problem. especially myself. Again, it's a problem that if it keeps going for a while, you just stop seeing that problem in yourself. And people come and tell you, people come and tell me, oh, you have this. I'm like, I'm looking, I'm honestly looking, I'm not seeing it. And it's because I can no longer see it. But before things get that bad, or for people who have actually even tried dealing with their problems, we're still not too good at seeing those problems. Sometimes I think I'm good at it. Yeah, I blame myself. When people tell me I have a problem, I look, I see the problem, I try to get rid of it. But still, there are layers of problems and impurities I have trouble seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us when He shows those problems to us. Sometimes the way He shows those problems and the way He helps us, not just showing, because when a person, the type of person that we're talking about right now, are people that are good, like your good selves. Okay, you're trying to get, you're trying to see issues, problems, imperfections, because we're imperfect, we're trying to make progress, we're trying to purify ourselves. There's impurities that you need to purify yourself from. Everybody needs to do that, right? We need to keep ascending. We need to, whatever level we're at, for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with the ability to see, not just for the heck of it, for them to see that it's there, but with also the ability and the assistance of getting rid of the problem. But how does this occur? This occurs with serious difficulty, unusual hardship. Recite this out of what, please? I'm sure you've read the Quran, inshallah, you read it more frequently and you try to pay closer attention to the meanings of the verses of the Quran. There's many stories in the Quran about prophets. Prophets went through purification. There are role models. It's not like they didn't go through purification. They were born in a way where they needed zero purification. No, they needed purification. Even our prophet, which is the greatest human being, the greatest of all creation, he went through purification. This is not me saying it. I can't even understand. I can't speak on behalf of the prophet or say or attribute anything to him. It's there. It's both in the Quran and also in his own sayings and the sayings of the imams. There's a process. The difference, of course, is that he started way up there already, and the impurities that he had, that he had to get rid of, we can't even get our heads around the that impurity, because it's so pure you can't see it. It's like a person who is not does not have a trained eye for impurities in gold. You show me that gold, it's so flashy, it's so much, so pure. To my eye, I can't spot any impurity in it. But for someone who is an expert in it, who can identify it, they look at it and they can spot certain things on there. The Holy Prophet went through purification. Every human being goes through purification. The stories of the prophets are there. Look at the stories of the Prophet in the Holy Quran, the prophets in the Holy Quran, and see what they went through. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. One of the stories I've mentioned before, it may have even been the same topic. These are topics that I feel we need to be reminded of. I need to remind myself. first and foremost, and I hope it's a reminder for brothers and sisters here too. It might have been the same topic, the same story. I'm going to mention it again. The story of Prophet Yunus, something that is mentioned a few times in the Quran. And when you read it, it sounds like it's very harsh. And a number of people have mentioned this. It seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him in a very harsh language. In a couple of the, at least, of the instances that the story is mentioned. He was a prophet. I was reading the details of the story. For about 30 years, he preached. There were only two believers that believed in him. His entire tribe, his nation, everybody rejected him, mocked him, laughed at him, didn't want to hear what he had. 30 years. He was around 30-ish when he became a prophet, a messenger of God, that he had to deliver that message. 30 years he preached. He was around 64, 65 approximately. Just fed up. He was fed up. He was tired of seeing these people disobey God, mock at divine teachings, laugh at divine teachings. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish his people. These people are disrespecting your law, disrespecting you. They're denying you. They're denying your law. They're going about and following their whims. They're not listening. There's only two people that have... Yes, he begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, I'll send punishment. He prayed for God to send punishment. أنزل عليهم عليهم العذاب. Lower. Bring down عذاب. Punishment on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, I'll send down punishment on the people, on your people, on a certain day, certain time of that day. It's a long story, an interesting one. I mentioned this for two reasons. One is the main topic, and there's a side point here too. That's important. I've mentioned before, we have numerous ahadith that we have to have this belief. That's the side point is regarding that other important belief we need to have, which is called bada. It was a divine promise. Enzil, he said, okay, I will bring down punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'll send down punishment. Certain day, certain time. He said to them that, he said to him, go and tell the people, it's on this day, and so on. Yunus went and spoke to the two believers that believed in him. One of those believers was a wise, intelligent person who was actually a progeny of prophets. He was a descendant of prophets. He said to Yunus, after he heard this, he said, this is very serious. If the adab doesn't come, people are not going to trust your word anymore. You're giving very specific timings. Be careful. It's better if you go and tell the people not to, or tell them about this and tell them to repent. It's better if you do that. The other person that was a believer, he was a worshiper. He was not as intelligent and as wise. He told them, no, these are horrible people. Let God destroy them. You don't even need to tell them about the timing and everything. Just let them be. Alhamdulillah, Allah is going to destroy them. Leave them. So Yunus left. And that other man also left with him. The believer who was wise and intelligent goes and does what he knows is right. He goes and tells people, hey, Yunus mentioned this. So Yunus just made, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him, he went and made that call, but he didn't say do it very seriously. Just said it and he left. This man came over and he started saying that warning, saying, look, this is serious. And this, you will see the signs. And let's cut a deal. Yunus has said, this day, this time, let's gather. If you see the signs, then start weeping and crying and ask the women and children to cry and beg God to forgive you the entire day. Or until the signs of the adab are no longer. That's what happened. That's what happened. They waited for that time. They saw the signs of the adab. Adab came. But they didn't get punished. They didn't get punished. Punishment came. They weren't punished, however. Why? Because this man who heard from Yunus, he encouraged them. He said, look at these signs. They came, they all started crying and weeping and begging, God forgive us, until around, so this is around sunrise, until sunset. An entire day they repented. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Next morning Yunus went over to see the mess, the aftermath. He went and saw everybody's alive. Everybody's okay, everybody's happy, rejoicing that they weren't punished. He got angry. He got angry. Got upset. God, you promised you're going to destroy these people. You gave specific timings. He got really angry. And he left with that anger. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. He wanted to leave with that anger. He got on a ship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about a situation. You know some of those details. Different variations or versions of the details of that. It was a ship that was occupied apparently with too many people, and it was sinking for one reason or another, and there's obviously whales there, meaning obvious from the story that we know. They had to either feed this whale, or because the weight was too heavy, they had to throw one person apparently. And they did qura'a. فَسَاهَمَ Siham is to do qura'a, drawing. They put their names and then they... فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ This is another chapter, another verse. He did his musahama, he took out the drawing. It was his name, he had to be thrown. They threw him. He was taken in by the well. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْ First, the side story here, it's important, we've mentioned this before. Bada, which is the idea that something that seemed to us that was going to happen, it actually doesn't happen. This is called bada, and we're told that a believer must have that belief, that things that are clear to you, you're 100% sure, they're going to happen. Even the certainty is from something that God said. It may change. The point that I want to mention about it right now is that it doesn't mean that what was said is a lie. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا Who is more truthful than God? He's not going to say something that's not true. The thing is, we are limited in knowledge, in understanding. We understand something that God said to mean something, and we are 100% sure God said something, we took it a certain way. In this case, let me elaborate this story. Yunus asked Allah, God, send down or bring down punishment on these. The Arabic is that anzil. He didn't say punish them, or the promise that God gave was not, I will punish them. That wasn't the promise. That's not something that he said. In the wording in the hadith, God didn't say, I will punish them. He said, I will send punishment upon them. He sent punishment, but he didn't punish them. The way Yunus took it was that they're going to be punished. That's what the promise is. But that was never the promise. That's what he understood. That's why the theologians, when they discuss the concept of badan, they explain that the word, because the word badan means to become evident, which when it's used for us in Arabic, we say like bada li. I started moving, I wanted to, let's say, travel to San Francisco for whatever reason. And then after I start the journey, or I make that decision, I start the journey, then I turn back. I say, bada li an arja. It became evident for me that I need to go back. The person who made the decision, now it becomes clear to them that they need to change that. Something was unclear, they thought a certain way, then they changed their mind. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. He knew that these people are going to repent and they're not going to deserve punishment. It's not like he didn't know. It becomes apparent for whom? Not for the one who made the decision, which is Allah, to do something. It's for the person who hears. For the person, the creation, that is aware of something or thinks they are aware of something that's going to happen. And they're supposed to be. That's their certainty. But it becomes clear to us that what we were sure of is actually not going to happen. This is the reality, the truth of Badr. It's something that we need to know. Some certain things that we are told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear to us one way or another that they're going to happen. Badr occurs. We're told we need to believe that. This example is an example that we can learn from and see this. But the other thing, the topic tonight here is for us to be gifted by Allah with the ability to see our flaws. When we're looking for them, we're trying to perfect ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. This was a blessing for Yunus. It seems like, and this is the point we're saying, it comes with serious hardship and difficulty. If you look at this story, I don't know how much we can try to put ourselves in Yunus's shoes to try to feel what it's like. You've been mocked out at all these years by a people. Now you ask God to punish them. And God, as you understand, promised that He will punish them. You're 100% sure of that. Then you go after that particular time that they were supposed to be punished. You see, everybody is there. And in your mind, at least, you are the laughing stock. Because you said they're going to get destroyed. It didn't happen. That's not the reality. This is happening all internally. And the hadith mentions this. He felt that way. And he was angry. On one hand, this is the way people are thinking of him. On the other hand, God promised he didn't uphold his word. Doesn't seem very positive here. And then the way he's treated, Sahama, this Qur'an, is something that God does. It's not haphazard. It's not out of the blue. It's not random. It's random for us. A drawing, it's not random for Allah. Nothing is random. Anything that happens is for. That's why we have this concept, the concept of istikhara, which is the term we use in the hadith. The word that is used is not istikhara. The word generally, for the most part, that is used is qura'a, drawing, which is essentially what istikhara is. The reason why we have that is this, that it's random for us. It's not random from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perspective. When you make the istikhara with the intention, asking Allah, I don't know, you guide me yourself or you get somebody to do it for you. That is there. It's in our ahadith. كُلُّ مَجْهُولٍ فَفِيهِ الْقُرْعَى. This is one of the wordings that we have. Anything that is unknown, there is qura'a in it. You can know it through qura'a. So he did qura'a, and he was the one that was supposed to be thrown in the water. And then the well swallows him. This is not a very pleasant scene, a very pleasant experience. However, all of this was a blessing for Yunus. The whole thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not trying to make him look bad or for people to think he's a liar or anything like that. And they didn't. That was in his mind. He went back, according to this hadith, he went to the same people. From one of the verses of the Quran, my understanding initially was that he was sent to another people, but apparently according to this, and I checked the verse again, it doesn't have any clear indication that it's another people. It just says a certain figure. And that's the number of the people that were there. Initially, two of them had believed in him. Afterwards, when he came back to a much larger number of people because they all followed him. They all believed in him. That didn't happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want that to happen. And he didn't want to hurt him. This was all a blessing. Because through this experience, it became evident for him that he has the flaw of shirk, which is inna shirka la dhulmun azim, according to the Quran. It's a great dhulm. It's injustice. What's the dhulm? What's the shirk of Yunus? He's preaching tawheed to people. Yes, but there's layers of shirk. And there's higher and higher levels of tawheed and belief in the oneness of Allah. Part of it that, from the story, I understand, my limited understanding. According to the Quran, it's clear. The problem he had was this. He said, La ilaha illa ant subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I was an oppressor. And before it says, La ilaha illa ant. Now he's been saying, La ilaha illa ant. That's the problem. We say these things. We say subhanallah all the time. But it's not there at a higher level. At a lower level, yes. A higher level, no, there's impurities. Right? The impurity had to do with this la ilaha illa ant. I had other ilahs that I couldn't see that I had them. One of them is this, and according to the story, him being worried about what people think of him, the perception they have of him. That's important. That makes you feel good or bad. You do things for that. That means it's an ilah. You want to do things or not do things based on how people, and this is way up there, okay? This is a prophet. He's for 30 years he has preached where people have mocked him, okay? Let's not forget that. So it's not like he left his job because that was important. But after all these years, you think that this is not a problem in this man. But no, there's certain layers of it that are there. Certain layers of it that are there. Is it visible to him? It wasn't. Through this very difficult experience, it became evident and visible to him. And the cure was there in that hardship. Now he sees it and he says, La ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This, it's just a couple words, a couple of sentences, it seems. Recite a salawat, please. But it's not just a couple of words. Admitting at that point, admitting you saw God guilty. That's why he was angry. God promised he didn't carry out what he had said he's going to do. He blames others for this. And the hardship, this is what happens for people like me. When we're put through that hardship, it's a blessing. Instead of taking it as a blessing, we get more angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start saying, why the hell is this happening? God this, why did God bring this upon me? This, that, the other, all those negative. But to see it, and then he is taught, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with the ability to admit that it's not God's fault or anyone else's fault or anything wrong or anything bad. It's actually I who have a problem. Accept that at heart. It's not an easy thing to do. That's actually the most difficult part of it. That's the part we don't want to do. We don't want to admit it's my problem. I have a problem. Or if we are willing to do it internally, we don't like to express it. When we realize it, we don't want others to know. Yunus went to the same people again. That was his job. He's got to go work with the same people. They've mocked him for 30 years. Now he thought that because of this, they feel a certain way. He went back. La ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. I'm speaking for myself. I know there's tons of issues and problems that I have that I'm not able to see. And that he tries to get me to see them with the difficulties and the hardships he puts me through. And instead of me being thankful and seeing them, we get upset at Allah, why he has brought that difficulty, that hardship upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to help us, not give up on us when we reject, when we get angry for why he has blessed us. We see it as, God forbid, something wrong or something bad, whereas it's a blessing.